If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's Valentine's Day coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited?
Right? Not really. For some of you guys, you just realize you probably should be thinking about that, right? It's Valentine's Day.
This,
what's that?
A proper date.
It's a proper date? There you go.
Sunday was a proper date.
Is that when the wife cooks for the husband? Takes him out?
Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to talk about love. Scripture has a lot to say about love. A little bit different than the proper date, I suppose. Little bit of a different direction there this morning, but put in your hearts and your minds this morning. We're going to celebrate love, and you think about a day set aside on the calendar for love. We ought to determine what does God's Word say about love, right? And familiar verses, we've read them before together, but we're going to go to the Word here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be gathered together in your church in this place, Lord, that you've set aside for us to worship together, to fellowship together. Lord, we thank you that we can just be in your presence and your Spirit is in this place this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just challenge our hearts now as we open your Word. Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts. Lord, open our ears to the truth of your Word. And Lord, I pray most of all that you would speak your words through me, that as your church we could receive your message today. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Consider this morning just a little picture of this love. I put in the bulletin there for you as well as up here. Thinking about this picture of love, when we define the idea of love, of course, we have determined already to this point before that we use the word love for a lot of different things, probably. We all love things in different ways. We love each other. We love our family, our friends. We love chocolate cake. I don't know, something like that. The world that we live in today would define love, and we would probably misuse that word in so many different areas today. Right, we love a lot of different things, and then we have to define what really is love. And I think from Scripture, obviously, we would determine really quickly that the greatest picture of love is that God sent His one and only begotten Son for us.
Amen.
And that involves sacrifice. And we've talked about it to this point already in many different times as we've studied together about love, that we've been reminded that, truly a picture of love involves sacrifice. And it, even as already mentioned, maybe that involves making a special dinner or doing something special for that loved one on a day set aside on the calendar for love. But think about the love that Jesus has for us. Think about what it means for us in the life of the church. And put up here for you to consider as you look in the bulletin or on the screen here, this picture of definition of love. And when I think of love, this is kind of the thought that comes to my mind. This is just something that the Lord gave to me a long time ago. Actually, I came across it again this week and thought, well, maybe I should share that. It can't be an accident that I came across something that the Lord put on my heart years ago about love. But it's living only viewing eternity. If we really thought about love and living our life today only considering eternity, would it change how we live? Would it change our thoughts and our ideas about really what is love? That we're living daily only concerned with what is going to happen when we think about eternity. And it would change our mind, our thoughts as believers. We would consider the attitude of love. We would consider the fact that if we really think about eternity, God has given us a solution for eternity, right? He's given us an opportunity. As we look at eternity, separated from Jesus Christ is hell and damnation.
That's right.
But eternity with Jesus is love everlasting.
Amen.
It's eternity with Jesus Christ. And if we think about that in our lives today as the church, then it changes how we live. Changes what we think about in love. And the Lord has given us some direction from His Word in these pictures. And I think obviously we know as Paul is writing here in Corinthians to the church at Corinth, he challenges to us. That very first verse he says, though we speak with the tongues of men and angels. He has this idea of a great noise, a great conversation that we would speak in any tongue or any thought or any attitude. If we would simply define that if we spoke in an attitude that means something to somebody. Right, that we speak in this direction, whether we speak a language with somebody or not, that we would speak the language of love from Jesus Christ. He says, and if I have not that love, right? If I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And honestly, without love, it's just noise, right? That's you think about a couple of those things there, that sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal alone. You think about music in itself, and I'm not musically talented in any way, but when you listen to music, even at the last band concert here in the school that I went to, is one of those things that you only every once in a while through the concert hear that kind of noise, right? And by itself, it would just be noise. It would just be this sounding brass, this tinkling noise, but when it's in the midst of everything else, it's great. It makes the music what it is. And when we have the direction of love from Jesus Christ in our life and we're living those things, then everything that we say is better. Everything that we do is better. When we have the love of Jesus Christ in our life and our focus and our commitment is on loving others and helping them to see the truth of Jesus Christ, as Paul mentions it here, even though we might say the right things, it's useless without love. We could say this morning in that attitude in our thoughts and our minds today, and probably every one of us has done this, but been in a situation when you just truly knew that somebody needed encouragement, right? And you knew that there was an opportunity for you to say something, and you simply just said something, not really intending for them to know that you loved them, just saying it because you thought it was the right thing to do, right? We have that. Nobody wants to admit to that today, but we've all done it, right? You just say the right thing. For as a general rule, as Christians, probably most often thing we would say is, we're going to pray for you. That's what we do. We'll pray for you through your challenge, through your difficulty. Do we really mean that? An evidence that we love those individuals is that we actually pray for them.
Amen.
That we actually do what we said. That we take opportunity here as we consider it in these verses to be genuine in our life. To the evidence that we love the world that God has put us in, that we love those lost individuals today, then evidence that we really love sinners and those that don't know Jesus Christ is that we love them enough to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
That we love them enough to share the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. This picture of love is an evidence that we recognize in the world today that there are people that are dying and going to hell. And the evidence that we're the church God has called us to be is that we love them enough to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
We're not fearful. We're not worried or concerned what they might say or what they might do, but we love them enough to know that we want them to see eternity. And he says there in verse 2, as though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he says, I'm nothing. Now, he distinguishes for the church here this morning to consider in that thought that we have this gift of speaking, that we have this gift of prophecy, he says, that we have this understanding of all the things of God. We can have all the knowledge that there is. We can have understanding of the Word of God, but the evidence that we truly know and believe in our heart the things of God is that we live it out. That it's an important part of our life. Though I have faith that could remove mountains, he says. If I have all of that kind of faith, we'd stare at the mountain and say, we want to move Pikes Peak to the Arkansas Valley, right? What would that look like? Man, that'd be great. Bring the Pikes Peak down here to Lahana. We could see it, be right there close to it. And we have faith that we could move that mountain, but we don't love the person that lives next door to us. What good is it? We have faith that God could do whatever it is that we ask. We have faith that God could do what we're asking of Him to do in our church. The big challenge that we have before us this year is that we feel God's called us to put this building up right out here on this property. Right? And we can have all faith that God is going to do it, but if we don't continually move in the action and attitude of love of Jesus Christ and reach the community like we know God's called us to, it's useless.
That's right.
It's just something that we do. We believe that He's going to do it, but why is He going to do it? Why do we need those things? Why do we feel as a church we need that space, right? We need that opportunity to minister better in people's lives. He says if we have all of those things without love, it's nothing. He says, I am nothing. It's a recognition on Paul's part of who he was without Jesus Christ. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. You know, consider this morning that this is a growing thing in the world that we live in today. Just that picture, and I don't think it's a mistake that Scripture writes it the word charity, because a lot of times when we see the word charity, that's what we think of.
Yeah.
We think of handing things out. We think of meeting the needs of others. We think of all of those things. We recognize this morning that the biggest need that any person in this world has is to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's through the love of Christ and knowing that and sharing it in our life that people are drawn to Him. And we see those things. And if I had all of those things, it'd be, although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it proveth... Look at what he says. It profiteth me nothing. Profiteth me nothing if I don't have the love of Christ. I don't have the desire for the things of God in my life. Charity gives us now an understanding of these things. It kind of gives us a picture to begin with of what it is that is necessary for us. Then he says, as the church, when we think a little deeper about charity, right? Here's the description of love. If we're going to have love and we're going to have this desire to share it with others and be the church that God has called us to be and be the Christians that God has called us to be individually, then we have to recognize what really is love, right? What does it mean? That we're living for eternity. That we're looking for those things of eternity. We're looking to the direction that God has given to us. And it involves some of these things. True love, as he says there in verse 4, it suffers long. It's patient. Right? That's the picture of true love when your husband tries to make you dinner for Valentine's Day and burns it and you got to cook dinner anyways, right? That's patience. I know you tried. We'll have something different, right? Get the frozen pizza out of the freezer and warm it up or something else. I don't know. It's a picture of patience, right? We think today in the life of the world and in relationship with those out in the community, what better example would it be from the church than to see a church that patiently loves the community? That we live in obedience to Christ and they see that long-suffering from the church. They see that patience and that desire from the church to just be in this attitude of love. He says it is kind. An unfortunate thing in the life of the church this morning is we do not see a lot of kindness anymore. Not even in the church, right? There's not a lot of kindness even amongst us. Sometimes the most challenging and difficult things that we see are in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Some of the most strained relationships are between brothers and sisters in Christ that should love each other, that should care for each other, that are kind to one another. This attitude that we see in the world today, people are just not kind anymore, right? We don't see it. It's not even taught. We don't teach our children to be that way. The society we live in doesn't care, right? The society we live in says, get what you want, when you want it, how you want it, doesn't matter what happens. Get people out of your way. I mean, how often, honestly, do you go into a place of business and somebody's holding the door open for you when you get there? Or that you're walking up to a door of a business situation and somebody's walking up there at the same time and they're not just hurrying to get the door open and get in so they don't have to hold the door open for you, right? That's a picture of kindness. You ever think about those things? But just run through your mind of areas for us as the church where we could be kind to one another. Be kind to the strangers on the street. That we look for opportunity for those things. It's a definition or a picture of love from the church when we learn to be kind to one another. That we be intentional about those things. That we look for opportunity. That the desire in our heart in the place of business was that we'd run to the door to get the door for somebody. Because we wanted to be the first one at the door to hold the door open. Because it didn't bother us that we weren't in such a hurry that we got stuck at the door and had to wait for 20 people to come through the door, right? And we just got an opportunity to be there. Just to find areas where we can be kind one to another. It's just not natural for us. It's not part of who we are, but it is natural for our God. It is natural for the Holy Spirit that lives in us to do those things. When we get in relationship with the Lord, we see opportunity for kindness. He says, charity envies not. Man, do you think about envy today, right? Nobody envies any of those things. We don't look at that. In our life today, good Christians, we don't envy anything, right? We've got all we could ever ask for. Everything we could ever want. Well, we see today how much envy honestly drives the world we live in, right?
Yep.
I mean, just look around us. It's not hard to see. It's the envy for bigger things, better things. We want the new car. We want the new house. We want the best clothes. We want the biggest, fanciest new phone that came out, right? We've got to have the next phone, right? I mean, I can't wait till we get to the Apple 100. What's that going to be like? You know, we'll just keep on going up and up and up. This thing's going to be the size of a room or something. I don't know. We keep going back and forth and back and forth. We want small, then we want big. Then we want small. We've got to have bigger so we can take better pictures and do all these things. I was talking to the kids just the other day about when a phone was just a phone. Right? When a cell phone, that's what it was used for if you needed to call somebody. And reality was you didn't really need to call anybody that often, right? But now we've got to have it and we've got to be able to do everything we could imagine with it. Oh, I forgot the camera. Oh, don't worry, you got one on the phone, right? Oh, I got an email. Oh, don't worry, you can do it from your phone, right? I'm lost. Heaven forbid we'd get a map out, right? We get the phone out and tell some lady to tell us how to get where we're going. Listen to her tell us to go the wrong way four times before we decide we knew where we were going to start with. We just pay attention, right? Think about all the things that the world envies. We want more. We want more of this. We want more of that. What would it be like today in the life of the church if we just simply said, I want more of Jesus?
Amen.
We got rid of the envy and we got rid of the desires of the world and we just simply wanted to be what God called us to be. We just wanted to be together as a church that when we came together on Sunday mornings, we couldn't help but be excited about the fact we were in the house of the Lord. We were worshiping together and we wanted to be in relationship with each other Monday through Saturday and Sunday too. We wanted to fellowship together. We didn't need to be in competition. We didn't need the biggest car or the nicest home or the biggest church building or whatever we could imagine. We just wanted to be obedient to the things of the Lord. He says true love doesn't envy. True love just says, hey, I'm happy for you. I love you. I'm encouraged by what's going on in your life. When we look across the street at the neighbor and he gets a new car, we say, praise God, you got the dad I don't, right? Instead of wanting it so bad. Think about what it means to just be content where God's called us to. We don't envy after those things. He says it doesn't puff itself up. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. We don't walk around with our chest in the air and our nose up in the air beyond everybody else. We just want to be who God's called us to be. When we look at the place and picture of what Jesus represented in this attitude of humility when he walked on this earth. Every instance we see Jesus was in a place of humility. No home, no food, no nothing. He just simply relied on people that loved him and cared for him to meet his needs. To be in this place. And we get to this place of not desiring after the things of this world and not really being concerned with who we are and our status and our position. The world teaches opposite, right? The world teaches us to get a position, get a status, get this in this business world. We get here, we get there, we get a big paycheck, we get a pay raise. It's a new year. We all ought to get a pay raise, right? Whether we earned it or not. Whether we deserve a pay raise or not, the world says, hey, cost me more to live this year, so I should get some more. Right? If we lived obediently before the Lord, we wouldn't have to worry about whether or not we got that next raise or that next position or that next status. We just simply realize we're a child of God and that's enough.
Amen.
And if He chooses to elevate us beyond that because He loves us, then praise God He did. We don't expect it. We don't expect those things. We just simply love like God has called us to love. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That's a wide open statement, isn't it? There's a big picture for the church. We don't think about those things. We don't behave unseemly. We just love. We're in obedience to the things of God. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Man, that's a hard one, isn't it? Think about what he says. We're not seeking after our own selves and our own desires. We're not easily provoked into any of those things, right? Some of you know. Some of you maybe that are that person. It doesn't take long to get provoked. There's something that just runs in our mind and in our hearts. Some days you walk through the doors at work and it's automatic for you. It's just like, oh, yep, there's that person right there. I see him, right? Or maybe you're the one there first and they show up. Then you got to watch them walk through the door, right? And you say, oh, yep, here they are. I was kind of hoping they'd call in sick today. Life would be better if they didn't show up, right? We don't do that kind of stuff. What if we just looked in the opportunity and we were able to say for that individual that maybe we just don't like or we don't want to meet on Main Street or we don't want to see around the corner or whatever, we just simply look at them and said, there's somebody that needs Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, use me today to help them see you. It gets rid of that envy. It gets rid of that desire and selfishness and those thoughts, and it gets rid of those evil thoughts that run through our mind when we really love them. And we're praying for them and we're encouraging them and we have a desire to be in relationship with them so that they would come to know Jesus Christ and most of all be in relationship with Him. We don't think evil, but that's not natural for us. Our human nature that we were born with says, I want to be more in my own self and I don't care what it takes to get there. And we want to have those thoughts and we naturally have evil thoughts because they don't line up with who we are and what we want. And the world doesn't line up with those things. And it's natural for us to reserve to those evil thoughts. It's just exactly what we do. It's a great challenge for the church this morning to be unnatural, to be focused to the things of God instead of our human nature. We only do that through the Word of God. through study of the Word of God, for a true, genuine love with the Word of God, and direction in our life, and desiring the truth of the Lord in our life each and every day. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. We don't rejoice in sin. We don't rejoice in the fact that we live in a sinful world. We say today in the life of the church, for us as believers, we would never rejoice in sin, right? We wouldn't be excited in those things, but every time we take part in it is a picture of rejoicing in that sin. Every time we fall trapped to the human nature and the desires of the flesh, the lusts and the desires that we fall into is a desire for that evil in our life. And it's a hunger in our life. And it's something we strive against, but you realize very quickly, he says there, we don't fall into those things. We don't rejoice in iniquity. When we get what we want, when we fall prey to that situation in our life, that lust, that hunger, that desire, that evilness that naturally comes to us, that's rejoicing in iniquity. But he says that we would rejoice in the truth and the evidence of Jesus Christ, that we'd set aside all those things that naturally come to us, and we'd look to Jesus Christ and rejoice in the fact that there's truth.
Amen.
That there's something above what we see every day and we live in every day, and we're committed to those things. We make it a part of our life. Love beareth all things. Not just the comfortable things, right? Not just the convenient things. Not just those that the situations that work good for us. But love goes through all of those things. True picture of the love that God has given to us and calls for us in the life of the church will walk through the struggle and difficulty and the fire and challenge of life and still know that we're trusting in God and nothing else.
Amen.
We'll face those things and know that God is working in our life and He's leading us in those things. Love goes beyond all those other things. We recognize right away, we understand that true picture of charity, that picture of love can only be of God if it's able to walk through those things.
Amen.
It can't be of me. It can't be of my own thoughts and my own ideas. I can't create those things, right? We can't imagine those things. Now, I think about it often, especially in Valentine's when it rolls around, this idea. The kids, I think, still do it anyways. I always see the results of it at home when the Valentine's box is getting created, right? And then you come home and there's just this box full of Valentine's that came back from school. And I remember those days at school. I don't remember getting very many Valentines, but I remember getting forced to write out Valentines. That was the hardest thing. You have to do it. Why do we have to? I mean, the teachers were so proactive, they send the list of names home with you, right? It's not like you go to school with them every day. It's not like you didn't know their name, but you got to make sure you don't miss somebody, so you got to write a Valentine out for everybody in your class so nobody feels left out. And what do you say to people, right? You don't really want to tell them that you want to be their Valentine. It's just something you do, right? Make people feel good. And when you come home with an empty box of Valentines, you feel pretty bad, right? Well, what would it be like if we just were intentional about loving people every day? They already knew how I felt about them.
Yeah.
You know, that we loved each other so much at work. Can you imagine if you took the Valentine's box to work? You guys, that's your challenge for the next week. Go write some Valentines for your coworker. See how that goes, right? See what might change. But you think about today, what it might actually look like to write a Valentine to your coworkers that says, I love you so much, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know something that's beyond the love of this world. I don't know if that's acceptable at your workplace, but you can try it, right? I mean, if you see what happens. Let people know, right? Because it's going to be a big thing this week in a lot of places. I happen to work in a tractor place. We don't talk a lot about lovey-feely stuff, but, you know, I think it's one of those things that just works, but it might change some thoughts. Hey, I love you enough to tell you about somebody that loves you more than I could ever love you.
Amen.
And be intentional about it. We took the name down. If nothing else this week, something for you to pray for. The people that you work with, you're around, your neighbors, your friends, your family, the stranger down the street, whatever it is, that we recognize a picture of love. I used to hate it, filling out those Valentines. I never really cared, and honestly, I can't remember a time when I actually sat down and looked at all the ones that I had in a box. Most of the time, as a kid, I brought whatever candy got thrown in that box with it, and I threw the rest of it in the trash.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me at all. I was just there for the candy. That was good, right? We got something that people need more than candy.
Amen.
And man, the message of Christ is sweeter than anything we could ever imagine there. That's an opportunity for us to celebrate Jesus Christ. And charity does that. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It goes through all of those things. When we go through life and everything's done and accomplished and the hardships are over with, we still have God. We still have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hopeth all things. It endures all things. Charity never faileth. That's a promise from God.
Amen.
And it's a description of the love that only God has for us. And we can determine right away that the world's love, it's going to fail. That's the difference in the definition we have, right? The world's love is going to change. Somebody's going to decide to go on a diet and chocolate cake's not acceptable anymore, right? Your love for chocolate cake failed now because we're not supposed to eat that kind of stuff, right? Those relationships are going to fail when it's not founded on the truth of Jesus Christ. Husbands, wives, we have divorce rate through the roof in our country today. This is not true, genuine love. They don't understand the love of Christ. They understand a lust. They understand an infatuation with somebody. And that's the kind of stuff that fails.
Yeah.
True love doesn't fail. Relationships don't fail when it's based on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When it's committed to the things of God. Our relationships with our husbands and our wives and our children and our church family, it doesn't fail when it's based on the things of God. True love never fails. But whether there's prophecies, look what he says, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That should be a warning for everybody chasing after all the knowledge of this world, isn't it? The Bible says it's going away anyways. You can get all the knowledge you could ever imagine. It's the love of Jesus Christ. For we know in part, he says, and we prophesy in part. But, look what he says. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Man, praise the Lord. We think about that perfect love of Jesus Christ. This morning we consider some of those things in our life today. What does it really mean to know the love of Christ? That as the church, we would love the things of God more than the things of this world. We would cherish the relationship we have with Jesus Christ above everything else in this world. There's an opportunity for us to consider this morning. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you know that love. You understand it. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't know that love, right? No difficult thing to understand why the world doesn't love people today, because they don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. That's the opportunity for the church. That's the place that God has called us to. Something to celebrate this week as we think about an opportunity to think about all the things that come around Valentine's Day that we truly do love, looking only to eternity and the things that God's called us to. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your truth and your reminder in our hearts this morning from your word. Lord, that we understand this picture of love and the definition that you've given to us in your word of how love truly should be today. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the gift of love that was given to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning in this time of invitation, as you give us opportunity, Lord, I pray in this room, if there's one person here this morning that has never accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would make it a priority today to do that. Lord, today is that day of salvation for them. Lord, in this invitation time that the music begins to play, they can come down this aisle and they can walk down here and I can pray with them. Help them to understand from your word what it means to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, to know that what it really means to be loved by you and to live in that attitude of love each and every day. Lord, for those of us that can say this morning we know you as our Savior, Lord, I pray that you would help us to just be obedient to you. Lord, if there's other things in our life, maybe there's someone here that's never followed you in believer's baptism, they need to do that. I pray you'd help them to come down this aisle. Lord, we'll help them to understand that from the Word of God. And Lord, help them to walk in right relationship with you today. Lord, maybe there's other decisions. Maybe somebody needs to come and be a part of this church. You're calling somebody to come and commit their life here. Pray you just help them to make that step of faith and obedience. Lord, whatever your will is in this place, maybe we just need to come and get on our knees before you and confess some sin and be right before you today. Whatever your will is, Lord, we're just going to trust you with it. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. 317, if you're going to use the hymnal.
Rest by trusting in Him.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for opportunity to be gathered in this place and worshiping together. Lord, I pray as we go out into the world this week that we would just be a light and an example for you. And Lord, that your love would just shine through us. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house today. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.